Now we're holding on Mem Omid Bey's six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said that among the questions they ask the Edim once they ask them the seven chakiris that we discussed in detail yesterday about where they have to establish the exact time and place of the event, then they ask him other questions that are necessary, the basic questions that are necessary to establish whether he's guilty. So one of the questions was, Makira Matam Oisai, they asked, do you recognize for example, if it was a case of murder, do you recognize the victim, whether it was a goy or a yid? Because after all, if it's a goy, the person is over on Loisirtzach, sure, but he's not Chayav Misa for it. And they asked him, did you give him Asra? So let's talk about that point. Tanan Rabbanan. We learn in a braise. So when they ask Makir Matam Oisai, what they mean is, what do they mean? Do you recognize him? Now you might have thought without the braise, it means do you recognize him, the guy who you're accusing? And that there is that point as well, of course. It has to be, it can't just be that we think that this was the guy who did it. Obviously, that wouldn't work. But it means also, do you recognize him, meaning the victim, Nochri Horag Yisrael Horag? Was it a goy that he killed or was it a yid? Now there are Rishonim who learn that, and we mentioned yesterday, Yerushalmi, in that connection, that maybe you could go according to Rav. Maybe if it's a place that's Rav Jews, then maybe that's enough for Beis Din to rely on to say that most likely it was a Yid, but not necessarily. Especially you have a point. The Rav Meir Simcha makes a point. For example, you have the whole matter of kavua. You have if the goy lives in this place, then it's considered lahalacha, like a 50-50 chance, even if he's only one goy living among a bunch of Jews. Anyway, so you have to ask him that. They also ask him his sreisim boy. Did you give masra? Kibbol masra. Did he accept the Asra? Did he accept the Asra on himself as well? In other words, did he say, fine, I know that I'm going to be Chayiv Misa for this, and I'm going to do it anyway. In addition, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there's a machlokas Tanoim, whether you have to tell him the particular kind of Misa that he's making himself susceptible to. Anyway, so did you tell him that? By the way, an interesting point is, they have to have this hitter atzma of the missa. There's always the question, so why would anybody do that? All the guy has to do is not answer, and he won't be chayav missa. So first of all, there is a point, first of all, that when a Jewish state is functioning as it's supposed to, then you have din malchus, then you also have a king who is able, if necessary, to execute a person even when Beis Din is not able to. So it's not like he's going to get away with it scot-free. Aside from which, also we're going to learn later in the Masechta about the whole matter of machnis and oisir l'kippah. There's going to be cases where even though the person is not able to, we're not able to be mechayev in missa because you don't have some of these technicalities, such as that he didn't accept the hasra. Nevertheless, there are cases where we're going to put him in a narrow cell and feed him a starvation diet, and then we're going to learn a whole thing of what happens to him over there. It's not a pleasant way to go. So that being the case, he might actually think to himself, you know what? If I'm going to be a dead man anyhow, I might as well accept the Mrs. Beis Din, and it'll be faster rather than the Kohen Sanos L'Kippah, which is also he's going to end up dying but much slower. Anyway. Continues the braise. So they also ask him, Hamas b'tzeich k'dei dibur. Did he kill the other person or do whatever the aveda was? B'tzeich k'dei dibur. It has to be that you gave him the asura, and then he does the actual action within tzeich k'dei dibur of it. Otherwise, there's a claim that he could say that he forgot it. Similarly, ha'oved avodah zara. If they're accusing the person in Beis Din that he worshipped avodah zara, then as the Mishnah said, they have to ask the details. That's mi avad. Which avodah zara did he worship? L'pa'ur avad, l'merkulus avad. Was it pa'ur or merkulus? And b'me'ovad, how did he worship it? B'zibuach, did he shecht an animal in front of it? B'kitur, by burning something in front of it? B'nisuch, by pouring something in front of it? B'ishtahavah, or by bowing down in front of it? Those are the four, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, that those are the four basic avoidas that are done for Hashem, and lahavdol, if a person does them for avodah zara, then he's chayiv misa, regardless whether those are the normal way of worshipping that avodah zara or not. And then, in addition, every avodah zarah has its unique way of worshiping it, going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur, throwing stones at Merkulos, etc. So they have to find out those details. Okay. Now, we said that you need Hasra. We said one of the points is that you need Hasra. So let's talk about that. So the Gemara says, "Oma Ola Minayim LaHasra Minatora." Where do we see Minatora, the concept that you have to have Hasra? Now, earlier in the Masechta, actually, the Gemara had pointed out that you need Hasra Poshet in order to know whether the guys are Shogeg or Amazed. So, what do you mean? What do you mean? Where do we have the concept of Hasra Minatora? The very fact that the Torah distinguishes between Shogeg and Amazed implies that you have to have Hasra. But we did have earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, we had a Machloikas. Whether that applies, whether that also applies to a chover, or Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda had said over there that a chover, a Talmud Chacham, does not need hasra, because if the whole point of hasra is to know whether he's shogeg or mezid, then for a Talmud Chacham, for a chover, you don't need that. So now we're saying, how do we know minat Torah that you need hasra? Meaning Tosfos says that. The question is on a chover. And also another point Tosfos says is the question can also be, how do we know that he has to do the act within Toch Kedei Dibur of the Hasra, and that if it's afterwards he's able to say that he forgot? So the Gemara says, like, so Ula says like this, Shenema, the Pasuk says, a man who marries or has relations with his sister, bas oviv oy vas imoy, whether she's his father's daughter or whether she's only his father's daughter or only his mother's daughter, meaning she's only a half sister of his, v'ra es ervasa, then if he sees her erva, and the Pasuk continues, she sees his erva, then they get kares. So you have to ask, Otter Bere'i Italia Milsa, since when does it depend on seeing? The Isser is not the seeing, the Isser is the relations. Ella, so we douse in the Pasuk, Ad she'ar uhu taima shel dover. When is he or she chayav misa? Only if they show him the reason of it, meaning that they tell him, this is your sister, she's an erva, and it's also, and you're going to be chayav kares for it. Now, v'im eina inyan l'kares. Now, we don't really need that as far as kares, because kares is a din shamayim. Hashem is going to punish him, so Hashem will know the truth of whether he knew what he's doing or not. Therefore, tneu inyan l'malkus. Therefore, apply it instead to the malkus. In general, when a person is chayav kares for something, it's possible instead, if there were edim v'hasra, for them to get malkus instead. In fact, we'll learn in Masechta Makkos that in principle, even if a person did not get hasra, it's possible for him to get malkus and be potter from kares. So yeah, with a sister then, or any other chayav krisis, there is malkus potentially involved. So therefore, we can be talking about where they warned him. And he's going to get malchus. So therefore, we see from the words v'ra, from the word v'ra, v'hisira, that there needs to be hasra, and they have to be aware of it. That's one source. Dvei Chizkiya Tana, in the yeshiva of Chizkiya, they taught, there's another pasuk from which we learn this concept. The pasuk says about a retzeach, v'chi yozid isha re'ehu, if a person deliberately goes and plots against somebody else, lahorgoi ba'orma, to kill him deliberately. So when it says v'chi, so we learn from that shehisru boy, they gave him asura v'adayin hu mezid, and he's still mezid. So Rashi says there's two ways. In other words, one is v'chi yozid means literally v'chi can mean an it means an if. So it means, in other words, how would we know? What do you mean v'chi yozid? How do we know for a fact that he's a mezid? It means we gave him asura and he's still a mezid. The other explanation, Rashi says, is if it said v'imhizid, then it would mean maybe we don't know for sure. But v'chiyozid means we know for means that we know for a fact. We know that he's amazing. And Rashi prefers that second explanation. So again, there you have it. Means shehisru boi v'adayin hu mezid. They gave him asra, and he's still amazed. Therefore, that shows that. Therefore, that. So then we know that he's amazing. So the Gemara continues, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned another source. We find by the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the Pasuk says, Hamotzim Oisim, Mekoshesh Eitzim, the people who found him gathering wood brought him to Moshe's Beis Din, implying that Shehistru Boi Va'adayin Hu Mekoshesh. They warned him, and he's still Mekoshesh. That's why it uses the expression Mekoshesh in present tense. So that's a third source. Dvei Rebbe Tana, and in the yeshiva of Rebbe, they taught a fourth source. The pasuk says, "By a naira hamayrosa al dvara she'ina." The pasuk says that he's chayiv misa, and she, if we know it was willingly, because al dvar on the word asher'ina that he afflicted, that he raped, which means al iske dibur, which means we learn from the word al dvar
that it means that that there was a word, that there was a statement involved, you're going to be chayav misa, and he went and did it anyway. So we have four different psukim that teach us this concept. Well, the Gemara says with tzricha, we actually need all four of those. We actually need all four of those psukim. De'i kosev rachmona achoisa, if we only were told this concept by the sister, Hava Amina, then you would say, you know what, fine. Okay, but by the sister, there's no chiyuv misa. The maximum penalty for znus between a brother and sister is kores. And then again, if there was edim asra, then malkus. You would say, Hava Amina, chayve malkus ein, chayve misis lo. Maybe by malkus, yes, you need hasra. Maybe chayve misis, you would say that not. After all, chayv and misas are more stringent. So therefore, you would think that maybe if the person is going to do such a serious avera that he knows is going to be chayv and misa, maybe you don't need asra. Maybe it's enough that we can see that he did it deliberately. So therefore, so kosev rachmana ki yozid. Therefore, the pasuk also writes it by the ritzeach where there's chayv misa. V'i kosev rachmona v'chi yozid, but if we only said it there, havamina hanimi li sayif to kill. Fine, we would say, okay, then that concept applies by hereg, by sayif, which is one of the more lenient types of Mrs. Bastin. Like we touched on yesterday, of the four Mrs. Bastin, the Chachamim hold the order of severity is skila, then srefa, then hereg, then chenek. Reb Shimon disagrees and says srefa, then skila, then chenek, then hereg. Everybody agrees that hereg is way down on the list. It's either third or fourth.
It's the least payment.
It's the least. So the Gemara is actually, when the Gemara deals with this in the seventh parak of Al Masechta, the Gemara is going to be dealing with how Reb Shimon and the Chachamim learn it. We're not talking about, it's supposed to be, presumably, which one is more and which one is less painful, but actually they're going to learn it from which Averis get which one. The fact that certain Averis get Skila and others get Srefa and others Hereg and others Chenek, we're going to discuss over there which Averis seem to be more severe, and therefore we can deduce from that the punishment is the more severe one. The Nafka Minim, by the way, of it is, for example, if a person is chayev two Mrs. Bastin, then he gets the harsher one. So now let's say, for example, a person is chayev both skila and srefa. Which one is he going to get? According to the Chachamim, skila. According to the Shimon, srefa. Anyway, so now over here, so you would say with a person killing somebody else, that's one of the two things for which he gets hereg, otherwise known as sayif. Sayif means a sword, because that's what hereg is, as we're going to learn when we get to the details of each of the dalet Mrs. Bastin. Hereg involves they chop off his head. Anyway, so you would say hanging him is something else. That's they don't hang a person in order to kill him like the way the goyim do. That's they hang up the body in certain cases, as we'll learn in the next parak. Anyway, if it only said it by the sister, then you wouldn't know it applies to Mrs. Bastin at all, because no Mrs. Bastin by a sister. If it said it only by the ritzeach, then you would say it applies only to saif, because that's what the ritzeach is getting. He's getting beheaded. To kill, which is after all a lighter punishment. Aval skila de chamura, but you wouldn't know that it applies to skila, which is more stringent according to everybody. Skila is stoning. Oh. They throw him off a platform and then they stone him. Yeah. So Eim Aloy, so you wouldn't know that he needs Hasra and that it has to be Tochid Dibra and all that. Tzricha. So therefore we need that Pasuk by the third Pasuk by the Makoshish Eitzim, where in the event he got Skila. Mind you, at the time when he did it, they actually didn't know what Misa he's going to get yet. The Pasuk says that they had to put him in jail because Kile Fordash Maya Osaloy, they didn't know what's going to happen. They knew it was Chayv Misa, but they didn't know which one until Hashem tells Moshe Skila. Anyway. Okay, the Tauti bin Iskolin Lomali. Now, the fourth posik that we brought regarding the Naira Marosa also involves Skila, because what you have is the Znus with an Eshes Ish is Chayav Misa, but there are different kinds of Misa involved. By default, it's Chenek. Then you have with a Bas Koyen, there's Srefa, and we're going to learn on Daphnun Aleph the details of when the Srefa comes into play. And then you have, if it's a Naira Marosa, then there's Skila. So the fourth posik that we quoted, Advara Sheina, is talking about Skila. The Makosha Sheitzim is also Skila. So the Tauti min Iskol and Lamali. So why do we need two psukim to tell us that this concept that you need Hasra and it has to be Tochid Dibur and all that applies by Niskolin? The answer is Lirab Shimon, according to Rab Shimon, who says that Srefa is harsher than Skila, than Lasuya, not Lasuya Nisrafin. Then we would say, according to Rab Shimon, you need it to include the Nisrafin.
Lirab Bon.
What? To include, to say that this concept that you need hasra applies also to the nisrafin. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known. You would have thought sreifa being so much more severe, even than skila, according to Reb Shimon, maybe if a person is going to do something that's going to get him sreifa, maybe he doesn't need hasra. Maybe we should expect so that a person should know that this is a serious thing he's doing. And yet, as far as the chachamim, we can say fine, as we've said before, milsta da asta, but kavachomer, something that could have been learned by kavachomer, torach because of lakra, the pasuk goes to the trouble of writing it anyway. We're not necessarily learning something else from it. Fine, we have an extra pasuk about skila, because even though according to the chachamim, sreifa is less stringent than skila, and we could have learned it by a kavachomer, nevertheless, sometimes the Torah will do that, it'll write it out befedosh, rather than leaving it to us to deduce by a kavachomer.
But the rabbi Fisher tell us that.
So in other words, we'd have two psukim. So you have two psukim, mm-hmm. right? Skullin, one to tell us that it applies by skila, and the other to tell us you would know by a kavachomer that it also applies to all the other mitzvahs based in. But nevertheless, the Torah takes the trouble to write it out.
You shouldn't have to learn it
on ourselves with a kavachomer. There's a vote from the Bnei Yisoscha on it, by the way, that says that the reason why the Torah does it is, after all, a kavachomer is something that you can derive by human logic. So every so often, the Ebishter wants to remind us in the Torah, after all, don't think that Torah is just exclusively meant to be decided with your own brain. Realize, after all, it's and therefore there's going to be places where it's going to put something in showing you don't bother with your human kavachomer. This is the way the Ebishter said it. Okay. Fine. Well, the Gemara asks, Well, fine, but still, why would we say that? So what are we saying? We had four psukim because we had to go up. First, one applies to Malkus, and another one applies to Sayif, and then two of them applies to Niskolin. Well, why not just give us one of the psukim by Niskolin, either the Mekoshesh Eitzim or the Naira Mayrasa, and then we would learn all the other ones from it. Once we find that you have this concept by Skila, then automatically we would know it applies to Hereg. We would automatically know it applies to Malkus.
If Madach, we do it by
Skila, which is so severe that the person ought to have known better, and still we require Hasra and Tochere Dibru and all that. Right. How much more so when it comes to the lesser Mrs. Bastin, and how much more so when it comes to Malkus? So the answer is again, we can give the same answer. We could have learned it by a kavachomer, but still the pasuk takes the trouble to write it out, and therefore we have it more clearly in the various psukim. Okay, so that's where we learn this concept. So from the combination of these psukim is where we learn this concept that in all cases there needs to be hasra, and the hasra has to be b'toch kedei dibur. And also that we said, so now the next one, we said hitir atzmei l'misa. Now it does also have to be, we said that he made himself open to misa. In other words, that he said, I know what you're telling me, that I'm going to be chayiv misa for this, and I'm going to do it anyway. So menolon, where do we know that? Where do we know that point from?
That's considered a warning?
No. In other words, so they tell him, for example, look, you see that light, you're about to turn on that light switch on Shabbos. Do you realize if you do that, you're going to be chayiv misa? And he actually says, I know that, and I'm going to do it anyway. That's hitir atzmei l'misa. So menolon, where do we know that you need that? Omar rova v'yitei mechizki, or omar kro, because the pasuk says, you must hames. The pasuk says that whenever you need two or three edim, and then the dead person will be killed. So what do you mean hames? He's not dead yet. Actually, yater atzmei l'misa. It has to be that he makes himself mutter to be dead. That he verbally said,
I know.
that I know that, and I'm ready to die, and I'm ready to die in order to do this. So Aruch HaNer points out when we said before that he has to accept the hasra. Now we said there were three things. We said he has to be given hasra, he has to accept the hasra, and he has to be hitir atzmei l'misa. So in other words, kibbul all of hasra would mean, yes, I hear what you're saying. Hitir atzmei l'misa would mean that he's saying, yes, I know I'm going to be killed for this, and I'm doing it anyway. Rashi explains, kibbul all of hasra means yedei ani shekein ani mozor shalei la'asas. I know what you're saying, that I'm also to do this. Hitir atzmei l'misa, he says, I know I'm a nas kein ani oisa. I'm doing it even though I know I'm chayiv misa. So now the Oruch HaNer points out, we didn't ask how we know that he has to be mekabel, that he has to be mekabel al atzma, because that's included. When we said the whole point of Asra is to know that he's mazed, so obviously he has to accept it and say, I hear what you're saying, and I know what I'm doing, and that brands him as a mazed. How do we know that now he has to hita atzma lemisa? For that, we need a separate limud.
What's about the statement that we learned that a person cannot say bad?
Ain't on a mesim atzma rosha means a person can't come to Beis Din and say, I did an avera, punish me for it. The Rambam points out, after all, you know, you might have the poor guy's tired of life or something and he just wants based into, here we're talking about the Edom see him doing it. They're giving him a warning. He answers, yes, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm amazing and I know I'm making myself Chayiv Misa. Then, yeah. Fine. The Gemara says, let's continue on this topic of Hasra. Omer of Chonan, Ede Naira HaMoirosa. When you have Edim that come to Beis Din and say that a Naira HaMoirosa was Mezana. So Rav Chonan says, Ein Neher Shehuzmu. If those Edim turn out to be Edim Zemimin, Ein Neher Rogin. They do not get executed. Now, why not? On the face of it, they're trying to get her executed with Skila. Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomam would tell us that they should have the same thing. No, Mitochshi Cholam Loi Mela Oistra Bai Labanu, because they could claim that, you know what, we didn't come to get her executed. We only came to get her, to make her also to her husband. Because after all, a married woman who's Mizana is also to her husband. So they're able to claim that, and therefore we can't say that they should be chayiv misa.
It's impossible.
One second. The Gemara says, Vaho Astruba. The Gemara says, wait a minute, they gave her Astra. And that means, you know, now the Hagoris Habach points out, given that they're Edim Zimun, they obviously didn't give her Asra. What we mean is they're claiming they gave her Asra. So how afterwards can they say, you know what we only meant to ask her to her husband? The answer is Deloy Astruba. We're talking about they didn't give her Asra. Well, the Eloy Astruba Hechim Mikdala knew, then how is she going to get killed in the first place? That we should say that now we have a Chiddush because they can say La Oistra by La Bonu. The answer is Beisha Chavera. We're talking about a woman who's a Chavera. She's a Talmidas Chacham. She knows the halachas. Va'alibed Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. And then it would be like Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda that we said, as we learned before, that he says that by a Chaver, you don't need Hasra in the first place. He says, given the whole point of Hasra is to know the person is mazed, so you should know he's not Shogeg, by a Chaver, you don't need that. A Chaver knows that this thing is Osir. Tosfos points out, either we can say Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda holds that he also doesn't have to be hiter atzma lemissa, so he would hold you don't need hasra at all, and it doesn't require that the chover would say, I know that I'm going to be chayiv misa for this, or maybe Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda would say that a chover is also considered as if hiter atzma lemissa. Once he says he doesn't need hasra, then he doesn't need that either. So therefore, we're talking about Chaver of Ali B'Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learn in the Brisa, as we learned in the first parak of our Masechta, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaver ain't Sarach Hasra, Lofishal and Nitna Hasra, Ela Lahavchan Ben Shegig LeMezid. Because the whole point of Hasra is to distinguish between Shegig and Mezid, and a Chaver obviously knows that what he's doing is wrong. So according to him, Rav Chanan is saying that now the Edim later on, if they turn out to be Edim Zimmerman, they could claim that we didn't give Asra. Yes, she would have been Chayiv Misa because she's a Chaver, but now Chavera. But now we're saying that in fact we had no intention of Asuring her to her husband because we had no intention of making her Chayiv Misa. Our intention was only to make her also to her husband. Okay. So the Gemara asks, the kiven de inu le miktali, ihu hechi miktala. Well, then we have to ask the opposite. If they themselves, according to this way of looking at it, if we're saying then that they're not going to be chayiv misa because they can claim that they only came to ask her to her husband, then they wouldn't be able to cause her to be executed either. Even according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, that Hasra is not needed because Habila Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima. Then in that case, it comes out to be an Edus that it's impossible to be Mazim, because the rule is it has to be possible always that an Edus, we should be able to be Mazim them, and it should be possible as long as they have all the other conditions to do Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomam. And Vachol Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima, if you can't be Mazim the Edus, Loi Shema Edus, then it's not called an Edus in the first place. So that being the case then, so what is Rav Chanan saying that in principle they could have gotten her killed, but now when it comes, they turn out to be Edim Zemin, they have an out, they have an excuse to say that we only lo'oistra abayla, In that case, then faker, that would mean that to begin with, their eidos could never have gotten her executed in the first place. So what's Rav Chanan's chiddush? Well, the Gemara asks back, well, then we have to ask Taka. Then you have to ask according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a chavera is able to get executed without hasra. Then Taka, how would you have a situation? How would it be ever possible to execute an isha chavera? You're right. I skipped the line. Sorry. You're right. Sorry. Okay. So the question is, it's an edus shiati yochel azima. The answer is hochinam kamar. You're right. That's what Rav Chanan means. Mitoich she'en neherogim, precisely because they themselves are not going to be killed. She'yicholim loyman la'oisra by labanu. They can say, they can claim that we only came to ask her to her husband. Af he ain't a neheregus for the same reason she's not going to get killed. Dehavila edus shiati yochel azima, because it's an edus shiati yochel azima. So in other words, Rav Chanan is telling us like this. The scenario is they're coming to Beis Din. They're saying that this woman was mezana as a naira mayrosa. So now we're saying that. So Beis Din asks them, "Did you give her asra?" They say she's a chavera; she doesn't need asra. So Beis Din says, "Okay, listen. In that case, then, let's consider if you turn out to be edim zomin, we know we're not going to be able to execute you because you can claim the oistra baila. Well, therefore, in retrospect, it's going to also turn out, therefore, you're not testifying that this woman is chayiv misa. The most you're testifying is that that her husband has to divorce her and she forfeits her ksuba." Well, the Gemara asks, "Ella beisha chavera de kaimel under mikdala." Well, the fact is, we know a chavera can get executed as well. So, al libid de Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda heichem ashkachasla. Well, the question is going to be, how is that going to work out according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? If according to him, we just said that the edim can always say they're only coming to ask her to her husband, then how is it going to work out, bichlal? So the answer is kazinsa v'chozer v'zinsa, because we can be talking about where she was mizana and then mizana again. She already became also to her husband the first time, so therefore she can't become more also to her husband. Therefore, at this point, they don't have the excuse that we only came la'oistra baila. Now, if they're testifying about the second znus, then it means they're coming to try to get her executed.
And she's not allowed to
Once she's also to her husband the first time, she remains also.
Right,
if now she's mizana again, her husband hasn't divorced her yet. As long as she's still married to her husband, she's still an Eishes Ish. So now we're talking about when she was Mizana again. They want to ask, "Val yicholim loyim la oistra boil asheni bonu." Still, though, can't they argue that they're saying we're coming to aser her on the second boil? We know the concept k'shem shasur la baal kachasur la boil. The woman is aser to her husband after she's mizana berotzen. She's also aser to the boil.
He's a chayv misa also.
He can be chayv misa also, but that's neither here nor there. The point is the edim are not coming and testifying about him. They're coming and testifying about her. You could have, let's say, for example, they don't know who he was. Or let's say, for example, he was a goy. He might be chayv misa. He's going to be chayv misa by shev misa menayach, but that's another matter. But he's there's actually a machlokas aposkim whether if a woman is mezana berotzen with a goy, whether she becomes also to her husband. The halacha is, if I remember correctly, that she is. In any case, so the question is then that, so if you're telling me, so what are you telling me? She was Mizana first time. She became also to her husband. Now, Adam are coming and saying she was Mizana again. And now we don't have the excuse that we're coming to ask her to her husband because she's already also to her husband. But the question is, they can still claim we're coming to ask her to the boil, to the guy that she had relations with the second time. That's the question. No, because we're talking about a chavera. Again, we're talking about there's no hasra, but they have the excuse to say we only came to aser her. So that's the question. Then they could still get out of missa. And once they get out of missa, then we said she's getting out of missa as well. So the answer is shezinsamid boil rishon. One answer could be she was mizana again with the same first boil. So there's nobody else for her to become also to her husband. She's already also to the first boil. She's already also to. So therefore, now if the edim are coming and saying she was mizana with him again, then they're certainly saying she's coming to be chayiv misa. They're coming to be mechayiv or misa because what else would they be coming to Beis Din for? Then they don't have the excuse to say we only came la'oistra baila. Inami, another possibility, Shizinsa Mikreveha, another possibility, is the man she was Mizana with is one of her close relatives, which she's anyway also to him. So her husband she became also to from previously. Now she Mizana again with one of her relatives. You can't say that makes her also to Boyle Shani, because she's already also to him from before. Therefore, that would again be a case where the Edim cannot say we're coming to answer her on her on Boyle Shani. It has to be that they're coming to actually cause her to get executed. And therefore, now, if they turn out to be Edim Zomerman, then we can say that indeed we should give them Missa for that. So an interesting point in that is, in fact, that there is a discussion in halacha about these cases of kishem shasur labal kachasur laboyel. If she was already also to her husband from before, does she become also to the second boyel? And on the face of it, our Gemara says yes. Yet there's an explanation. Yet there's an opinion of Maharos Sosa in who says that actually that she wouldn't be also to him. So the Pischet Shuva has an interesting explanation. So well, because she's already also to her husband. The whole point would be kashem shasur labal kachasur laboyel. But if she's already also to her husband before, then how can the second boyel become also to her more when she's already also to the first husband?
Even though there's no gadgets, right?
So the question is, how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So in fact, the Pischet Shuvah actually brings an interesting explanation that we could talk about over here. Listen, why are we specifically focusing on a Naira Hamarosa for her to be Chayiv Skila and for the boil to be Chayiv Skila for that matter? It has to be that she's still a Basula, and if we're talking already about a second Znus, she's not a Basula anymore either. Then it's just a regular Ashes Ish. So he explains that we're talking about basically that the Edim came and testified out of order. First they came and were testifying about the second Znus, and then about the first one. And then the flow of the Gemara over here would actually be that we could say that how do we know when we're saying again there was no hasura according to Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda? How do we know that when they're coming and saying the later Edim are coming and saying that she was Mizana the first time, which is going to make her chayv skila, but maybe it's only loystra boyla, it's only to make her also to her husband and to the boyle sheni, and therefore, so in other words, the flow of the Gemara can be made to work according to Maharos Sasan to actually say that when she is already in fact also to her first husband, she won't become also to the second boy, although she's also to the first one, because he's the one who caused her to be also to her husband, but not necessarily the second one. It's an interesting chat. Anyway, okay. Onward in the Gemara. So that's that. Well, the Gemara asks, "Maishno Naira Marosa Dinoka." Well, in that case, why specifically focus on a Naira Marosa? Afilu Nesua Nami. All of this that we just said would apply to a regular married woman as well, where there's chenek involved. And the answer is ain't. Yes, that's true. Ella filu hai. But what Rav Chanan wants to tell us is even in this case, delo yasva tuse, she's not yet living with her husband because she's a naira marosa. Nevertheless, they still have the excuse to say that we only came to make her also to her husband. In other words, exactly that. It's a chiddush. In other words, you would think they should think to them. We should think. Wait a minute. Maybe it didn't occur to them to make her also to him, because after all, they didn't see her living together. Nevertheless, they still can use that excuse. Okay. The Gemara says. Omer of Chista. So Rav Chista says, let's talk about contradictions between the Edim. Echad Omer b'sayif hergo, if one aid says that he killed Pliny using a sword, the Echad Omer b'ariron hergo, and the other one says he killed him with an ariron, which is, we had previously, Rashi had given two explanations. Well, Rashi had given a French word, he gives it over here also, that it means a small knife, like a scalpel, and then the Oruch translates it as an axe. Whatever, a different kind of weapon. Ein zen nochein, this is not called nochein. The pasuk says v'hinehemus nochein adover. Nochein means matching up, and here it doesn't match up because they're saying two different things. So therefore, the address is no good. Echad omer kelev shchurin ve'echad omer kelev levanim. But if one says he was wearing black clothes, and the other says he was wearing white clothes,
Nothing.
Hareza nochon, then this is nochon, because then they're contradicting each other on things that are not really essential to the Eidos itself. So therefore, so we don't, right, they can say we didn't pay attention to that, right. So the Gemara says, Mesli, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says that no, nochon, shiyehe nochon, when the Pasuk says nochon means that it has to match, that the Eidos has to completely match up. And that means, Echad Omer B'Sayif Hogev, Echad Omer B'Ariron Hogev. So if one says he killed him with a sword and the other one says he killed him with an Ariron, or Echad Omer Kelev Shchoen V'Echad Omer Kelev Levonim, one says he was wearing white black clothes, the other says he was wearing white clothes, Ein Zeh Nochon, then it's not Nochon. So the Braisa clearly says that either way, the Eidos is considered to contradict one another. So sort of Rav Chista is saying basically like this. We had in the Mishnah Chakiris versus Bedikos. Chakiris, we said, are the questions to establish the basic time and place of the action. And then you had Bedikos, which are all the side questions. Rav Chista is saying there's a difference if they contradict one another in Bedikos, it's not a problem. But the Braisa is clearly saying that even in Bedikos, it prevents the Eidos from being valid. So the answer is Tirgum Rav Chista. So Rav Chista explains, you know what kind of kalim we're talking about, his clothes, we're talking about besudah shechon kaibai. Let's say, for example, the clothing itself was the actual weapon he used to kill the person. He took a scarf and wrapped it around the guy's neck and strangled him. So then that's like the Saif versus Dariran, the actual murder weapon. Of course, you have to know the details of it. So if one says it was black and the other says it was white, then it's no good. That doesn't mean if we're talking about what shirt he was wearing, that it should be a contradiction that would pass all the Eidos. Okay, well then, what about Toshma? Let's prove for another Braisa. Echad Omer Sandol of Shchorim. If one of them says that he was wearing black sandals, Echad Omer Sandol of Levonim, and the other one says that, and the other one says it was white sandals, Ein Zeh Nochon, then it's also not Nochon, and we throw out the Eidos. How would Rav Chista answer that? The answer was also Namikinsha bought by the sandal of a horgoy. We could say he used the sandal as a murder weapon. He kicked the guy with a sandal and killed him. So we need to know what color the sandal was. All right, Toshma, Maiso Bodak Ben Zakai Ba'ukte Te'ena. We said in our Mishnah that Ben Zakai, and we'll talk about soon who Ben Zakai was, one time interrogated the Edim about the stems of the figs. And since the way they contradicted one another, then he threw out the Eders. Now, that seems to be bedikus, because whether we're talking about a murder, whether we're talking about whatever kind of aveira it was, what kind of stems were on the fig tree over there wouldn't seem to matter. According to Rav Chista, that shouldn't prevent the Eidos from being valid. So Rami Bachama says, fine, but you could be talking about, let's say that he actually picked a fig on Shabbos. So we're not talking about murder, we're talking about chilul Shabbos. So then we need to know what kind of stem was the fig attached to. After all, it's because of that he's getting killed. So therefore, even Rav Chista would agree that that's essential to the Eidos.
Can't say he was hungry. He deserved it not because of that. He was because he wanted food.
Edim v'hasra. There were Edim who saw him do it, and they warned him, "Don't do it." Remember? So the Gemara says, we can talk about it wasn't murder, it was chilul Shabbos. What do you mean? V'hotani, we learned in a brayso, omru loy tachas te'ena horgoy, that the case was that the Edim said to Ben Zakkai, what does it matter? He killed him under a fig tree. Who cares what the stems of the tree were like? So we see we're talking about murder. We're not talking about Chilul Shabbos. So we're back to the question. According to Rav Chista, why would the shape, the size, whatever of the stems matter if it's only Bedikus? So Rami Bachama says, fine, you could say you're going to shofte b'yichur shor te'ena. Fine, you could say he took a branch of a fig tree and stabbed the guy with it. Well, then in that case, the branch is the murder weapon, and therefore, again, we need to know what the stems on it looked like. Well, Toshma, the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof from a Braisa. Omalahan, that Ben Zakkai asked the Edim, Te'ena zu uktzeha dakin uktzeha gasin, were the stems on this tree thin or thick? Te'enim shchoros, te'enim levonos, were they black figs or white figs? Now, at least fine, as far as the stems, you could say they're part of the murder weapon, but when it comes to the figs themselves, you can't kill with figs. So therefore, obviously, that's obviously bedikas. And according to Rav Chista, it shouldn't matter, even if they contradicted one another. Ela Omer Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, never mind everything we were saying, that it might be stabbed him with a fig branch or whatever. Rabbi Yosef says, Mi Ben Zakkai Loisev Inish. You're going to try to bring a contradiction from what Ben Zakkai did. Shiny Ben Zakkai.
In fact, Ben Zakkai's opinion is unique. De Bidikus ka Hakiris Meshavile, he holds that Bidikus have the same strength as Hakiris in the sense that if the Edom contradict one another on that, then we throw out the Edos. The Chachamim don't necessarily agree with that. Rav Chista is talking according to the Chachamim, who say that with Hakiris, if they contradict one another, then we throw out the Edos, but by Bidikus, then not. So therefore, Rav Chista holds like that, and therefore he's not bothered by this Braisa. So in fact, a point is now the Mishnah has mentioned what Ben Zakkai says. In the end, actually, the halacha is like him, that we do consider Bedikus like Chakiris to that extent. But one interesting point is that Rav Chista takes the view, if that were the case, if the halacha is in fact like him, why does the Mishnah mention it under his name? Yes, it may be that he was the one who asked the question, but if it's something that the other Chachamim ended up agreeing to, then the Mishnah should have put it as a Stam Mishnah. The fact that it mentions specifically Maiso Bazak Ben Zakkai, Buktitainim, the Gemara is going to mention Kavur Bishmei, that they put it in his name, but nevertheless, Rav Chista might say, Fakir, the very fact they put it in his name means that the other Chachamim disagreed with him. So, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Man Ben Zakkai. Who is this Ben Zakkai that we're talking about? Ilemer Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The obvious possibility is it would be Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai. The problem is, me have a Sanhedrin. Did he ever sit on a Sanhedrin that dealt with Dini Nefoshes? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Shnoisav Shal Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai Meiv Esrim Shana. Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai lived to be 120 years old. There's a Medrash that mentions there's a number of great leaders of the Jewish people who lived to 120 and whose lives can be divided into periods of 40 years each. Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai, Moshe Rabbeinu Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, there's a couple of examples. Anyway, for 40 years he was engaged in business. Now, we don't mean during that time he wasn't learning Torah. He wasn't like Rabbi Akiva and Amar Oretz at 40. It just means he learned as much as he could, but he was also engaged in business. Mem Shana Lomad, for 40 years he learned Torah. Aboim Shana Limit, and for the last 40 years he taught the Jewish people. Vitanya, now we learn in a Braisa, Aboim Shana Kodim Churban Abayis, 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Golsa Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin went into Golos from the Lishkas HaGozes, the Yoshvala B'Chanus, and they reestablished themselves in a place called Chanus, an area in Yerushalayim. There, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi explains why, what's the point, what is the Braisa telling us? Loima Shaloi Donu Dine Knossos. It tells us that from then on, they did not judge Dine Knossos. Now, the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Dine Knossos? Dine Knossos, Sakadai Dach, why not? As long as they have smicha, it doesn't matter where they're sitting, they can still judge Dine Knossos. Elo Shalai Dunu Dine Nefoshos. What Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi meant was they stopped judging Dine Nefoshos. Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that the reason was because towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, Nefishi Roitzchim, there started to be a lot of murderers, and Beis Din couldn't deal with the matter. That would mean executing too many people, and probably some of them were rich and powerful, whatever, and they couldn't get their hands on them. So therefore, they figured, we'll leave the Lishkas HaGozes, and at this point, we have no choice but to leave it up to Hashem to punish them, like we learned a few days ago. Anyway. So we see that 40 years before the Churban, they weren't dealing with Dini Nefoshes. Tosfos, by the way, earlier in the Masechta, points out, it does seem from other Gemaras that once in a while they would return to the Lishkas HaGozes for an exceptional case of Dini Nefoshes. However, not for Ritzicha, since the whole point they had left is because Ritzicha was becoming more common, then they didn't ever return for Ritzicha. Since we just established, based on the Braises over here, that this case that Ben Zakkai mentioned the fig stems involved Ritzicha, then we can't say that it took place, so that we can't say that they were judging it within the 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And Utnan, we learn in Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, Mishachor Beis Hamikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai. After the Churban, Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai made various takonas, altogether 9 takonas it lists in Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah. So we see that he outlived the Churban. So therefore, if he lived to 120 and his last 40 years was teaching, meaning that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, then that means that when did he join the Sanhedrin? Only after they had left Lishkas HaGozes. So how do you have that he was sitting in the Beis Din and that he was saying that we should check the Uktzei Te'enim? And in fact, the Sefer Doros HaRishonim calculates, based on various Gemaras, that it seems Rabbi Yechonon outlived the Churban by at least about 6 or 7 years. So whatever, even if it was less than that, the point is, yeah. So Ella ben Zakkai de Alma. So you can answer maybe it's not Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, it's another Chacham named ben Zakkai. And in fact, Chochinam Mistabra. Yeah, it seems more logical to say that. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Correlate Rebbe ben Zakkai. Why would Rebbe call him ben Zakkai, which is not an honorable title? He got smicha. He should call him by his proper name, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai.
They called it before he.
Ah, so the Gemara answers. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, Vahotanya, Maiso Bodak Reb Rabban Yerchen Ben Zakkai Be'Uktetainim. We have another Braisa that explicitly credits this thing about the Uktetainim to Rabban Yerchen Ben Zakkai. So obviously it is him. So the Gemara answers Ella. So we can answer both questions that we just said. How it is that he's able to do it more than 40 years before the Churban, if he wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin yet, and why we're calling him Ben Zakkai, Talmud HaYoshev Lefnei Rabbi Haba. When this case came to Beis Din, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai was still a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbeim. So he said something, because as we learned in our perek and in the previous perek, a Talmud can say something that can say something to help exonerate the guy. So in this case, it would be that he's telling the members of the Beis Din, you know, you should think to ask about the size of the stems and see if we can get the Edom to contradict each other and therefore to let this guy go free. Oh, so they accepted his reasoning. Bishmei, and they established it in his name. So therefore, so that's why Kihava Lomad. So when he was still learning as a Talmud in front of the Sanhedrin, Ben Zakkai Hava, then he was known Hava Korile, then he was known only as Ben Zakkai. The Talmud Ayoshul Lefnei Rabbi, because that's what you call a Talmud in front of the Rebbe. You don't call him yet Rebbe. Kihava Limid later on in his life when he started teaching Torah to the people, Hava Korile Rabban Yerchen Ben Zakkai, then he's called Rabbi Yerchen Ben Zakkai, and that's why the Braisa calls him that. On the other hand, our Mishnah, Ki Korele Ben Zakkai, Hashem Demikra. So when the Mishnah calls him Ben Zakkai, is because that was the situation he was in at the time when this happened. For Ki Korele Rabban Yechon Ben Zakkai, Hashem Dehashda, the Braisa, the calls of Yechon Ben Zakkai, is based on the title that he later got. So that answers both questions. Then it was in fact more than 40 years before the Churban. During his 40 years of learning, this happened. So therefore, the Sanhedrin was still in Lushkas Agazis, and they were judging Dini Nefashis of murderers. But he's called Ben Zakkai rather than Yechon Ben Zakkai, was at that point in his life, that's what he was. He wasn't. He was yet still a Talmud. He didn't yet have smicha. But again, we said that according to Rav Chista does not necessarily have to accept that svara. So again, there is the point. So there are mafoshim. There is a mafodish called Gur Aryeh that explains that actually it would mean Rav Chista would have to agree. Listen, after the Sanhedrin accepted Ben Zakkai's reasoning and established it as the halacha, then Rav Chista would have to change his mind and say that bedikus are like chakiris as well. And if the edim contradict one another on bedikus, then we throw out the edus. On the other hand, there's another way of looking at it that maybe Rav Chista can take a view. Listen, you know what? The very fact that it's still said in the name of Ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai itself, indicates, okay, that particular Beis Din accepted his svara and used it. It doesn't mean that a future Beis Din is obligated to do that. It might well be the halacha is that you don't do it that way, and that contradictions and bedikas do not, in fact, cause the edus to be thrown out. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Maiso Bodak Chola Mabin Chakiras Chola. Now, the Mishnah had gone on to describe the difference between Chakiras and Bedikas. So we said like this in the Mishnah. One difference is that when with Chakiras, if even one of the Edom says, I don't know, then that's it, no Edos. So we ask them, for example, we said the Sheva Chakiras, the first one is, for example, we said, what Shmita in the Yovel cycle is this, that this event happened in? So if one of them says, I don't know, then that's it, no Edos. On the other hand, with Bedikas, if we ask them, what color shirt was the guy wearing? And one says, I don't know, then
it's okay.
That's still a valid address. If they contradict one another, that's what we're saying. That was Ben Zakkai versus the Chachamim and Rav Chista, whether we accept such address or not. Anyway, so the Gemara had said, "My afilu shnayim omrim." Now the Mishnah had said that when it comes to Chakiris, we said. When it comes to Chakiris, if even one of them says, I don't know, then Edus and Patela, the Edus is bottle. But when it comes to Bedikas, if one of them says, I don't know, even if both of them say, we don't know, then the Edus is still valid. So if they ask the Edom individually, what color shirt was he wearing? And each of them says, I don't know, nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying the Edus is valid. Fine, but the question is, my afilu shnayim omrim. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, even if two say? Pshita, obviously, ki alma echad eni yidei eidus and kayemes. If we're saying that if one of them says I don't know, then the eidus is valid. Amri beit shrei nami eidus and kayemes. Then yeah, it should be the same thing if both of them say I don't know. Why does the Mishnah have to point that? Why does the Mishnah even have to point that out? And why the afilu? Amr Rav Sheshes areisha koi. So Rav Sheshes says the afilu is actually going on the reisha. V'hochikama. What it means to say is v'chakiris. When it comes to the chakiris, when we said that if one of them says any yadeya, then that's it, no edus. Afilu shnayim omrim yadainu. Even if so, you have two edim. So let's say you have a group of three edim come to Beis Din. All as a group of three. If two of them say, we know. So Beis Din asks the first one, what Shmita and the Yovel was in? And he correctly answers, it was the fifth one. And asks the second one the same thing. Then they have the third aid from the group, because he came together as a group of three. And they ask him, and he says, any idea? Any idea? Edus and Taylor, we would still say the Edus is bottle. I, we had two Edim, which should be good enough. Nevertheless, we have the third one with them as well, and therefore he causes it to be bottle.
It's only calling to who?
Well, so the Gemara says, Kiman, well, who would that be like? Kirab Akiva. Demakish Shloisha L'Shnayim. That would apparently be only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says there's a hekish between two and three. Namely, we have the Pasuk says, Alpi Shnayim Edim Oy Shloisha Edim. And Rabbi Akiva learns from that in a Mishnah in Makkos that it means that if you have three Edim, if you have a group of three Edim that come, and they then it has to be, in order for them to be Edim Zomim, Rabbi Akiva says, we learn that all of them have to be Muzam. For the other Edim would have, the new set of Edim would have to come and say, Imanu HaYisim, regarding all three of them. Two of them all by themselves would have been enough to be a valid Edus. Nevertheless, the fact that three of them came as a group, Rabbi Akiva says, Makish Shloisha L'Shnayim, that you have a Hekesh between three and two, and therefore, whatever applies to two applies to three, and therefore, the third one is an integral part of the Eidos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it would come out. If one of them says, Eini Yedea, then again, the whole point of the Hakiris is to make Hazoma possible. So therefore, if one of them says, Eini Yedea, then Rabbi Akiva is going to say, it's impossible to do Hazoma now. Therefore, the whole Eidos has to be thrown out.
Rabbi Akiva holds that
Bedikus. No, it's not Bedikus. We're talking about Chakiris over here. Rabbi Akiva holds, if two people come to Beis Din and they say, we saw Reuven being Mechal Shabbos, if now, and we check them out on the time and place, if other Edim come and say, Imanu HaYisim, then the first set of Edim Zomim. Rabbi Akiva says, what happens if three Edim come at the beginning? Two of them, and then, so now, three come and say, we saw Reuven being Mechal Shabbos on this date and time at this place. Now, other Edim come and say, but two of them, Imanu HaYisim. Two of them should be enough for Edos. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says, no, Makish Shloisha L'Shnayim, for them to be Edim Zomim, it has to be all three of them a Muslim. Well, that means all three of them have to be able to provide the exact time and place. Otherwise, we can't have Hazama. Therefore, we see that Rabbi Akiva holds that all three of them have to be able to provide all the details on the date and place and on the time and place, and therefore that if one of them is missing, then no. That's how Rav Sheshes is explaining the Mishnah. We're talking about there were three Edim. Two of them say, yes, we know the answer. The third one says, I don't know. Based on what Rabbi Akiva is saying, we throw out the Edus. But Omar Rava v'ha'idus and kayemes chatani. Rava says the fact is the Mishnah says that if they the Mishnah says that edus and kayemes, that the edus is valid. And according to Rav Sheshes, it's saying fakir. We're talking about a case where the edus is bottle. Ella Omar Rava hachikama. So Rava says the afilu of the Mishnah means like this. When we said afilu, even if the both of them say we don't know edus and kayemes hachikama, what the Mishnah means is afilu b'chakiros. Even when it comes to Chakiris, and we said if even one of them says any idea, the Edus is bottle. What happens? Shnaim omim yodainu, the echad omim any idea, if two of them say, we know the answer, and the third one says, fine, we're talking about three Edim, like Rav Sheshes said, but Fakert, we're talking about that one of them says, I don't know, Edus and Kayemes, then Rava is saying, the Mishnah is saying that the Edus is valid. In other words, Rava is saying that the Mishnah is not talking about, the Mishnah is indeed talking about the Chakiris, but it's saying the difference is that with Chakiris, the opposite, not like Rabbi Akiva, if two of them are saying that they know and one of them says we don't know, then Edus and Kayemes. Command the Loik Rabbi Akiva, namely, in other words, Rava is saying our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Now, the big question is, Rava just objected to Rav Sheshes and said, you're changing the girsa of the Mishnah. You're telling him the Mishnah had said Edus and Kayemes, and you're changing it to Edus and Betela. So how is Rava's any better? Rava is keeping the word kayemes, but Rava himself is after all, the Mishnah had said two edim say we don't know afilu shnayim emim any idea, and Rava is changing it and saying two of them do know, and one of them is saying I don't know. So how is Rava's answer any better than Rav Sheshes's? There's a couple of points. The Ran points out the Ran and some other Mephoshim point out that. It's more likely we would more likely say that the Mishnah is saying that the Eidos is kosher. So in other words, since the Mishnah uses the word kayemes, that the Eidos is valid, and it's talking about it's contrasting with Bedikus, where even if both of them say we don't know, then it's still kosher. So therefore, so the Mishnah, we should assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Eidos is valid. Aye, that means that we have to change from any idea from saying we don't know to saying we do know. Okay, fine. It is a change in the Mishnah, but it's not as major a change because it's clear from the context of the Mishnah that we're talking about. We're trying to say when the Eidos is Kayim. So better to change the Eino Yodim to Yodim rather than change the Eidos and Kayemis. And then the Aruch HaNer explains that we've learned before that when it comes to a Mishnah may be missing words, it's more common that a Tana is going to leave out words or is going to leave out or add a couple of extra words or whatever, but not to say something, not to change the main din over here. So if we have, he might change mistakenly, he might say Ein Onu Yodin mistakenly instead of Onu Yodin, but not to change Kayemes to Betela. Okay. There's other explanations as well that maybe the Mishnah had said va'afilu, that and even if, maybe Rava is changing it to just afilu, taking out the vav and saying, in other words, that the Mishnah is telling us a new din not related to what we said before, and in that case it's not such a major change to the nusach of the Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara tells Rav Kahana and Rav Safra tonu Sanhedrin bei Rabba. Rav Kahana and Rav Safra had learnt Sanhedrin in the yeshiva of Rabba. Pogabahu Rami Bachoma. One time Rami Bachoma met up with them. Omalahu, he asked them, Maya Mritu Baba Sanhedrin de bei Rabba. What have you said? What have you been learning in Sanhedrin by Rabba? In other words, you learned by such a great Talmud Chacham, Rabba, you must have learned great chidushim, so tell me some chidush that you learned. Amrilay, so they ask him, Amaya Munin Baba Sanhedrin Gredisa. You have to ask in general, what do we have Bechlal, even if we hadn't learned by Rava? What particularly are you finding difficult in Sanhedrin that you're implying, you seem to be implying you have a question, and you're saying you expect that we'll be able to tell you a Chiddush that will answer your question. What's your question about Sanhedrin itself? Never mind what we learned by Rava. So Umay Kashalach, what exactly is your question in Sanhedrin that maybe we can help answer? Omalahu, so he answers them, Mehod Katani, this that we learned in the Mishnah, Mabin Chakiris Labidikus, where we said, what's the difference between Chakiris and Bidikus? Chakiris Echod Omer Eni Yadea Idus and Betela. We said by Chakiris, if one of them says, I don't know, for example, what Shmita in the Yovel it was, then the Idus is bottle. Bidikus, but we said by Bidikus, for example, what color shirt, Echod Omer Echod Eni Yadea, Vafil Shnaim Emim Eni Yodin, Idus and Kayemes, where we said, that if one of them says, I don't know, even if both of them say we don't know, the Eidos is valid. Rami Bachama says, my question is, Mechti, Aidi, Vaidi, Dauraisi. After all, both Chakiris and Bedikus are necessary Dauraisa, as we learned yesterday from the Psuki Vidarashta, Vachakarta, Vashalta, and all that we learned about Chakiris and Bedikus. So Maishna Chakiris or Maishna Bedikus. Why should there be that distinction? Once we say that all of them are required Minat Torah, then why should we say that some of them he can say any idea, and that's fine? The answer Hochi Hashta, how are you even thinking to compare them? Bachakiris, Oma Echot, Eni Yadea, Idusim Tela. You know why Bachakiris, if one of them says, I don't know, why is the Eidos Bottle, the Havila Eidos Shiat Yochel Azim? Because at that point, it's an Eidos that you can't be Mazim. How could you be Mazim it when they don't know exactly the time and place? But Bedikus, Omer Echad Mehen Eni Yadea, Eidos and Kayemes. But when it comes to Bedikus, sure, one of them can say Eni Yadea, and the Eidos are still valid, because Eidos Shati Yochel Azimahu, because it's still an Eidos that you could be Mazim. The other Eidim coming to be Mazim has nothing to do with what color shirt the guy was wearing. So therefore, so your question doesn't really begin.
So Rami Bachama says, Ihochi, if that's so, in that case, Tshuva Amrituba, then you've said a lot in it. Apparently, you guys have learned a lot in Rabba's Beis Medrash. Amrile, so they answer him back, Mitzivuse Demara Munin Batova. You should know the reason why we're saying a lot in it, is because you are good and you are onav and you're agreeing with us. So therefore now we're able to say in it. Minizihuse Demar. But if you had wanted to be, go in and fight against us, basically, Rashi explains Minizihuse is a lotion of speaking very sharply to them. Then we wouldn't have been able to say anything in it. So in other words, it's a good thing. They're telling him that. They're telling him it's a good thing that you spoke to us in a nice, respectful way that makes it easier for us to be able to learn together. Because if you had spoken to us you could equally well have spoken to us in a way saying you don't know what you're talking about or something like that, and then we would have a much harder time learning. So basically, they're complimenting. So therefore, Rashi explains basically they're complimenting him and saying it's a good thing that you spoke to us in a way that shows that you that we're getting along the way Talmidei Chachamim should get along with one another, and that way indeed we are able to learn and we're able to understand a great deal within this sugya. We said in the Mishnah Echad Oimer V'chula. We said that if one of the Edim says that it took place on the second of the month, and the other says it took place on the third of the month, then that's not necessarily a contradiction, because we said one of them knows that that the previous month was a 30-day month, and the other one is not aware of that. So that's not a contradiction as long as everything else matches up in terms of the day of the week and everything else. But we said that we said if they're out by 2 days, then we don't say that anymore. So the Gemara says, Ad Kama, how far into the month are we able to give them that leeway and say that they may not have known? Only up to the most of the month. Once half the month has passed. And then one of them is saying it was the 20th, and the other was saying it was the 19th. Then that doesn't work anymore, because at that point they should already know whether it was a chodesh moler or a chodesh chaser. Omar Rava afa nan nami tenena, and Rava says, in fact, we can see that in our Mishnah. We said echad omer b'shloisha ve'echad omer b'hei. We said if one of them says it took place on the third of the month, and one of them says it took place on the fifth, edus and betela. We said their edus is batel. Now why should it be bottle? You could say one of them knows that there were 2 months in a row that were chodoshim malayim and one doesn't. You could say, so therefore, doesn't that show that once most of the month has passed, then they already should know that? Well, the Gemara says that's not really a proof. In fact, you could say that even maybe once most of the month hasn't passed, maybe a person wouldn't know later on in the month whether it was a chodesh moler or a chodesh chaser, or b'shipura yoda. But a person would know when they blow the shofar. In those times, they would announce, they would blow a shofar when they were mekadesh the chodesh. Whatever the first day of the month was, whether it was a chodesh moler or a chodesh chaser, they would blow shofar to announce it. So therefore, b'chad shipura, so you could say that maybe with one shofar blowing, he might have missed it, and we could say therefore he didn't know. But we're not going to assume that he was mistaken on two of them, that he missed out two of them. So therefore, so in other words, maybe we would say when it comes after the 15th of the month, sure, he doesn't know yet, but once another Rosh Chodesh has passed and he claims not to have heard the sound of the shofar, and therefore he thinks it's only the third of the month, and meanwhile the other one tells him it's already the fifth, they already blew shofar twice, then that's already, we can't really say that's an acceptable mistake, and therefore we say it's more likely that the Eidos are contradicting one another, and therefore we have to throw out the Eidos. Tosfos actually points out that you have to ask. I mean, even aren't we trying to find every possible way to exonerate the accused? So why are we saying let's assume that maybe he knew about the shofar, he knew about it being a chodesh moler or chodesh chaser or whatever? Why don't we just say, look, one saying the second, one saying the third. That's it. We throw out the edus. And the answer is that the whole point Tosfos gives, Tosfos explains, because when it comes, why are we examining them? Why are we cross-examining them? Is we want to be we so 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 so, so actually that's a different thing. So Tosfos says that because the vote is that once we again once we've asked them and they said it was the same day of the week and everything else matched up and the only thing that's the only discrepancy is in the day of the month, then therefore then therefore we can't we it's much more logical to assume even on the basis of the Tzilu Eder, we're still not going to go so far as to say we're going to call that a discrepancy when it's very odd when it's a very obvious reason why they made the mistake similarly to the mistakes as far as the time, whereas we said appointed Abaye and Rava and appointed a mayor and a Rehoder respectively. You have the different possibilities of how much of a discrepancy is allowed because people don't necessarily know the exact time. So the same thing over here. On the other hand, Tosfos says that when it comes to the third versus the fifth, then the whole point is we want to try to we do want to try to break down their eidos as much as possible, and therefore we can't say, for example, when it comes to hours, that we should say that it means the third versus fifth hour to say that one of them meant the end of the third and the other one meant the beginning of the fifth, and to say that it should be valid because again we're trying to we are trying to break down their eidos. We're saying that ultimately, Beis Din has to strike a balance over here. They're trying to, they do have to try the Tzilu HaEder. They do have to try to find reasons to exonerate the person. On the other hand, they have to use methods that are reasonable. So when it comes to the second versus the third of the month, then we can say, listen, it's, you know, everything else matched up. It's fairly obvious that that it just means one of them knew it was a Chodesh Moleh and the other not. But when it comes to the hours, if there's too much of a discrepancy, we're not going to try to infer what they say and say that one of them said, one of them meant the end of the third hour and the other one meant the beginning of the fifth hour and it's only an hour discrepancy, we're not going to do that. But as far as the previous piece, by the way, as far as the previous piece, when we said with Rav Kahana and Rav Safra, where Romy Bar Choma had met up with them and they had this whole discussion, and they tell him at the end, they tell him Mitzivusi Demar and Mitzivusi Demar. So Rashi just says, so he's again, we just said that Rashi said it means they were just telling him, you should know it's a good thing that you're being very gentle with us and accepting what we say, because otherwise, if you were going to go and try to fight with us over it, then we wouldn't be able to learn much. The Or HaChonev gives a different explanation about it. He says, so like, what's the chiddush over here, and what's this whole expression? Are they trying to? Are they just trying to pride themselves on that? On that we were able to stay, and you didn't contradict us. So you see, he brings the Gemara elsewhere says that when you're telling over something from your Rebbe, maybe sometimes you shouldn't always tell it over in your Rebbe's name. First, tell it over in your own name. See if the person accepts it, because otherwise, you're going to cause a zilusa. It's going to be a, you're going to cause disgrace to your Rebbe if the other person says, "Oh, that was something stupid or whatever." And then it comes out you're bringing your Rebbe into disrepute. Then afterwards, if you find that it's acceptable, then you tell him the truth is this comes from my Rebbe. So in fact, kol ha'omer dover b'shem omer. First, say the dover. Then, if he finds it acceptable, then say b'shem omer. So now, Rami Bar Choma asks them, "What do you do? What did you learn in Rabba's yeshiva?" So they didn't want to. Maybe how do we know? Maybe he's only coming lakanter. Maybe he wants to just slug up whatever they're going to say and say that I can't accept what Rava is saying. So therefore, so they're saying that you know what? Never mind what Rabba taught us. We'll answer you what we learned in Sanhedrin ourselves or our own chiddushim in it. And then after. He asked them a question. They answered him. Now they said, so now, you know, so now, in other words, he's telling them that, first of all, now I see you telling me something very good. Now they have good reason to tell him it's in fact from Rabbah. That now they need to explain themselves, first of all, to clarify where they got this from. And second of all, why did we say it over in our own name? So that's what they're telling him. In other words, we see Tuva Demau. We see that you asked in a way, not Lakanter. So therefore, now we're able to say, now we're able to say it in our Rebbe's name. But had it been, Minizahusa Demar, if we had had reason before, we had reason to be concerned that you're only coming lakanter, so therefore we weren't going to say it over in our Rebbe's name until we saw what your motivation is in asking the question. Shkoyach, everyone.